If only they knew. The hub for young business minds.
Yes, people, welcome back to the If Only They Knew podcast. Today we're joined by Harry Porch, the 23-year-old who's the UK's youngest recruitment agency founder, who speaks about connecting with the right people, the importance of being mentally and physically fit, as well as how unemployment rates aren't as bad as we think. So whether you're looking to increase your chances of being employed or looking to be the best version of yourself, this is the podcast for you. Right, so we start off, mate, with telling us who you are and what you do, please.
Yeah, no, of course. So my name is Harry Porch. I'm the founder and managing director of a recruitment agency called HM Staffing. We've got an office in Reading and Manchester, and we're basically an office support, sales, marketing and HR recruitment agency. Alongside that, I also have a podcast, which obviously you came on last season, called The Spike.
Yes, lovely. And we'll dive straight in. Normally, I mess about at the start of the podcast when we go reverse the clocks a bit. But for this one, I want to dive straight in and then we'll reverse the clocks and sort of look at your younger years a bit later on. But what made you think you could run a business?
It was never the plan this early on. So the business, I set up at 20. I left the recruitment agency that I was at and just had people that I knew would I'd be able to do recruitment for. And it got to the point where I was like, well, do I join another agency? Because I had my phone was just going off on LinkedIn. They saw that I moved. Or do I set up? And I know that I'd have about two or three accounts that would come with me, which would already be more than my salary. And I just sat down and one day I was like, you know what, let's just do it. And it's been kind of like a roller coaster since. I think you can never be prepared for what it's going to be like. And even now, it's still like new challenges come up every single day. I'm just sat here just like, oh, I've absolutely no idea what to do. Just baffled half the time, just winging it really. But I think that's the fun of it, isn't it? Especially when you're at such a young age, you're doing it, like winging it along is kind of the fun, really.
Yeah, it is. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. Especially like with my parents and stuff and like my family, people that haven't been involved in the world, like they make up so many different problems and issues that could go wrong. But, oh, but what if this, what if that? And when you dive into it, it's like, it can be difficult at times, but like you said, it's quite fun and enjoyable. Like, and that's when you know you'll be able to beat those hard times. And there's always something rewarding at the end of it. Well, most times anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like there's like growing pains as well, for business. Like we're hiring quite a bit at the moment. And like people are just the hardest thing when it comes to like management and stuff like that. And we've had a few people obviously leave, a few people stay. So they always get tricky then as well. And it doesn't get easier, but you speak to people that have been in business for 40, 50 years, and they will say the same thing. They just say it doesn't get easier. You just got to learn as you go along, really. No one can prepare you to run a business. You can sit in business lessons as much as you want and prepare for the worst all the time, but you'll be preparing for things that won't happen. So you just kind of, like I said, just wing it. Just enjoy it as well. Enjoy the process of it.
Yeah, that's it. I want to dive into that a bit later on in terms of the technical stuff. But now let's rewind the clocks then. So you mentioned there, like you can learn a bit in like the business lessons and stuff like that, but it's more down to the experience. But like, how did you find school in that case? Did it help you with what you're doing today at all, or was it more of a confidence builder?
I think it helped with the people skills. I think that's it for me, really. I was the kid that was sat in the back on Football Manager, so I'm dyslexic, so I was allowed a computer the whole time, and so I'd Football Manager up, and as soon as the teacher would come past, I'd quickly switch the screen. I was just too busy trying to take like Reading to the Champions League final and stuff like that. It was mainly like religious studies. That was the lesson. That was like my Football Manager time. Yeah. I left school with two or three GCSEs. Like I really didn't enjoy it, really struggled at school with actually the subjects. For me, it was just learning how to interact with different people and how to behave, if anything, in certain situations, really. My school was really weird. It was a Quaker school, so everyone was equal.
What does that mean?
So like Quakers are a religion, like, so where the like, main thing is that everyone's equal, like there's no like hierarchy or anything like that. So the headmaster we'd have to call Nigel, so everyone's first names, so you wouldn't have to like Mr. or Miss or Sir. So you can imagine as like a 15-year-old, you can be quite patronizing if you're getting told off and you're there like, all right, Howard. It was really weird. But they like put in like really good ethos and values into you about that, which has helped massively now. But I've never used Pythagoras theory, or I've never, like what I learned in chemistry or biology, I've never ever had to use any of that. So for me, it was just the people skills. But yeah, I had no concentration at school.
No, but do you know actually on that point, I actually know one person, it's the first time I've ever heard it, that said there was an IT manager and they said, oh, I had to use Pythagoras theorem the other day. And everyone in the office was like, no way, tell me more. Like it was a big event. Like they couldn't stop talking about it for about a week. But it was like the very first, because that's like the main example, isn't it? Like, oh, when do I use Pythagoras? And it was the first person I've ever heard use it. But no, you're right. Apart from that, I do think school is it's pretty pointless in a sense, isn't it?
That is the one, isn't it? Or it's like geography and clouds. They're the two. Like, I've never looked up and said it's this kind of cloud. But yeah, I've never heard of anyone have to use it.
No, it's crazy, isn't it? But like that goes for most of the stuff, like you said, we've learned at school. Most of it I've never used, or I don't even remember. I couldn't, if you said name three things you learned at school, I would struggle, because they're just, I learned them to pass the test. And once I'd passed the test, I had no use for them at all. Like none of the structures, literally nothing about it. It all just got wasted as soon as I finished. And yeah, I went to uni. And you didn't go to uni, did you? Or did you?
No. I left college.
Yeah. Two GCSEs. So did you, I guess you sort of knew that educational path wasn't for you then, I guess. Like obviously you sat at the back playing Football Manager, then you got your two or three GCSEs, then I guess you sort of knew from the get-go, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I went to college after that, which was, again, I went from a school with probably about 400 people to a college with 4,000 people. So for me, that was a bit of like a good networking thing as well. I'm still in contact with a lot of people. And there I just did a business course. And it's funny now, I go back to that college to give talks and CV workshops. And I was with one of like the industrial placement students that we have here. This was about last year now. He was just doing some admin work. And I saw my old teacher. She came over to us and was like laughing with us and told him that my first assignment was the worst bit of work she's ever received whilst at the college. And I was like, cheers for that. And I'm trying to be like the director here, like give a talk, and you're just embarrassing me like that, but never mind.
It is crazy, don't it? Like it's always the people that failed initially at school or were sort of like the outcast or outlier in some way that always end up. It's like almost poetic. They always end up going back in some form, whether it's the rapper going back to do like performance or whether it's the entrepreneur going back to do a speech. Like there's always something in that, isn't it? It's quite a weird thing.
It is. I'm guilty for always looking on LinkedIn and like job boards, because obviously we have that about what people I went to school with doing, like what were they up to and stuff like that. And it baffles me all the time. And I'm like, I thought this person would have gone on to do absolutely great things. I know I'm still 23, it's about to turn 24, but I thought that this person would be doing a lot more, or a lot of them are still at uni. And I'm like, I couldn't think of that. I was like, we're 3 years deep into HM staff now, and I couldn't think of still being in education. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And I didn't realize how long you could be at uni for. Like, and like you said, when I think about what I've done and how I've changed so much since I was at uni, to think of still being at uni, it gives me the shivers. it makes me feel so weird, the fact that like I could have still been in that environment, and I would have, because at uni I was very segregated from the real world. So I feel like if I was still there now, I would have been like a nervous wreck almost, like, because I wouldn't have got any of the real life experiences I would have got during that time. It's so strange.
Well, it's weird. I think it was my second. So my year went to uni, and it was the year after. I had a close mate called Johnny. He went to Nottingham Trent, and I visited him quite a bit. And I was so tempted to just like to stop work and just go to Nottingham Trent after going there a couple of times. And I met up with one of my old teachers, and I said, "Oh, this is what I might do." And she just laughed, and she was like, "No." She's like, "You're going for freshers, aren't you?" And I was like, Yeah, that was exactly why. She just hit the nail on the head. She was like, "Don't do it." And then 6 months later, I set HM up. So it's kind of happened for the right reason. I didn't end up going, but I was so tempted after seeing the uni life.
Yeah, I bet. Do you think everything happens for a reason then? I know that's a bit of a deep question to throw in there, but because when like we're looking back now, you sort of think, wow, I'm so glad I didn't do this or I did do that, because it's led me to where I am now. Do you think everything happens for a reason?
Yeah, definitely. And I think right time, right place as well, big time. It's just a weird one. I think it does happen for a reason. Like, I think it was really good that I didn't go to university, then this opportunity came about. Yeah. And I think opportunity always finds you when you're not prepared for it. I wasn't prepared to start a business. But the moment that you're not ready for that opportunity, when it's just poor performance, well, not performance, preparation, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm a big believer of it. I like to think it as well. But I know some people are really anti that statement. Yeah. But no, I believe it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like I've said before, like even if it's just a placebo, if you want to put it that way, it's still a good way to like embrace a positive mindset. Because if something really bad happens, even if you get hit by a truck and survive, you think, oh, that must have happened for a reason, even if it may have not. I think it's a good way to sort of fall back on it. But you mentioned there, I wanted to speak to you about working for other companies, and you was only there for like working for someone else for like a relatively short time, and then like you said, a few months later you started your own thing. So when you went into like the real life working place, did you have any sort of intention of using that experience you'd be getting to do something of your own one day, whether it even if it wasn't necessarily a recruitment business? Did you have a plan for something of your own, or was it just completely random?
Yeah, I always wanted to start a business, but I never knew what it would be in. I used to be really into marketing and wanted to get into PR. I did an internship in London. My last day working day in London was the Westminster attack. And I was just like, no, wow, this isn't for me. I was in Soho. So I was like, it's not even too far. Like my phone was going crazy from my mum calling. I just thought, no, I'm not a big fan of this. So then went into recruitment. I'd never thought recruitment would be the thing when I got in there. Like I was thinking, right, do I want to do like a marketing degree in my own time instead of going to uni for freshers and dropping out? And I always thought I'd do something like that. And then it's kind of just all happened. I knew it would be the plan, but not this early on, and definitely not recruitment. I didn't think that'd be the case.
Yeah, that's it. No, I completely get that. And like you said, you're 23, aren't you? And obviously you're running your own business now. So what do you think, like, what's your take on the risks associated with it? Like, do you think now for any young person, it's the best time to start a business rather than, like, it's very easy for people to say, I'll get a few more years under my belt worth of experience and then I'll do it. But then like a few years, that can change your situation drastically. And then you could have like a lot of rent and bills and stuff like that in the future, kids, family. So is now like the younger the better to start a business?
Massively. You speak to people that, and you're like, oh, well, why haven't you set up? And they say, oh, I always wanted to set up. Yeah. Oh, I can't now. I've got rent. I've got my overheads. I've got a little one now. I can't afford to do it. And then it gets to the point they can afford to do it, and they're in their 40s now, and they think, oh, do I really want the stress of doing this? No, I'm really comfortable. And they never end up doing it. I think when you're young, you have the stigma of young person in business. He doesn't know what he's on about. She doesn't know what they're on about. You get it all the time. But when you're young, it is the best chance. Because, okay, say it doesn't work out, everyone's just going to be like, oh, they're just young. They were just trying it. It was entrepreneurial. Well done. It was not a negative thing. The only thing is it would hurt your ego a little bit. And yeah, reputation, you could say. But when you're young, you've got nothing to lose with it, especially if like, you still live at home and like, you still see all your mates, you've got a strong support circle. I 100% would just give it a go. I didn't expect all this to happen. It's kind of, now it has. I had nothing to lose at all then, but everything to gain.
Yeah, that's it. Do you think it's been easy for you then, like your personal process into the business world, the transformation? Do you think it's been an easy process setting it all up and, like you said, dealing with people? Has it been easy for you?
Parts. Certain parts have been. I've got quite a good support circle around me. We now work with a sales coach, for example. We've got people that help me out and advise on stuff. But we've definitely made mistakes for it. We've had difficult things. A lot of it comes down to hiring. When it comes to hiring, it's a lot of other people's sort of problems and issues that then become your issues and problems. And when people leave, and if you had like threats of like tribunals and stuff like that, and you're just like, okay, fine. Yeah. People just get tricky with it. We did have one, which we can't really talk about, but they said that we were completely in the right and everything like that. So that was really good. But you're gonna get these obstacles thrown at you and stuff like that you can't prepare for. But it's just all part of the process, all part of the journey, isn't it? Really.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not been easy. I don't think there's been like a week where I'm there like, that was quite an easy week. There's been a few things that have gone our way, like new clients reaching out to us, for example. Oh, we've seen your stuff on LinkedIn. We think it's cool. We want to work with you. And like some bigger companies doing that as well. And then you're there like, this is easy. I could sit back. You guys can do the work. I'm going on holiday and everything like that. But I think every single week there's been a challenge once from there, like, I want to pull my hair out, and I'm on the phone to like four different people getting their opinions and their advice and sort of leaning on my support circle.
So what have been sort of like with the people, how have you sort of managed to manage them in a sense? Like, is it like, because you're saying it's like the hiring, when you hire people, they cause the issues. Like, how have you managed to sort of slow that issue down? Because I know it's always going to be an issue of some kind, but how have you managed to sort of resolve that in some way with the people you hire?
It's a key thing of it. And I think you have to sort of respect that work doesn't actually come first. Like, it comes first to me because this is my business and everything like that, but everyone has got a life. And I think once you respect that and have that, everyone, let everyone have a work-life balance, that's one thing straight away that people will have a bit more of a respect for you, because they'll be there like, oh, this person actually values my life. You always see the post on LinkedIn saying like, oh, if you died tomorrow, the first thing your boss would do is put an advert up. Would they? I don't think they would. Like, okay, they would need to replace you, but I don't think they'd get a text saying that you're dead and then go, all right, put an advert up. I don't think it happens like that. But I think it is one of the biggest challenges, is definitely managing people, having them in and stuff like that, because they might not see the same vision as you. And it's all about just being really transparent. I'm really transparent in the team. They know the 5-year plan. They've seen the plan of it. They've seen the numbers that need to be hit. Everyone always knows where we're at against it. So as long as everyone's in the same and it sees your vision, then it's fine. The moment that you have, I always think like a horse and carriage. If you've got everyone put in the right direction, then you're going, it's going to all go well. As soon as you start having people, like a different horse running left, a horse running right, a horse not going anywhere, then it's just going to fall apart. And it's the exact same as managing teams. You just got to show the vision really with it. But it's definitely the hardest part. But once you have a good rhythm and you've got a good team around you, it will only just grow and accelerate really.
Are your team quite young then? I had like a little look at some of your team and they all seem quite young. And obviously you've got is it the chief of happiness?
Tilly. So yeah, she comes with me on some client meetings and she's actually weed on every single client's floor.
But just to make it clear, start. This is a dog we're on about.
This is a dog. This isn't a human just thinking it'd be funny. But no, yeah, she used to come a lot with me, especially like lockdown when I was working from home. And we're about to move offices and she's allowed back into the new office, which is really good. But every single client she did. And I was like, I used to warn them before, like it happened last time. And they're like, oh, we don't care. She's so cute. I'm like, cool. But every client that she's come with me, we've won the contract.
Wow.
It's just distracted the whole office. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh yeah, come back whenever you want. And everything like that is, it's an investment, definitely. we're all quite young. I'm trying to think, you've got some people that are sort of 28, 23, 24, 21. We got one of the advisors who's on the website. I think he's 58, 60. Mm-hmm. And we always take that banter him a bit, saying he just adds some wrinkles and helps the average and stuff like that. But we're all quite young, and I think when it comes to hiring, are hiring people that are considerably older than me, for example. Some people really don't like being told what to do or being tried to be like teach or taught even and directed by someone a lot younger than them. And some people have a real big ego about it and they just don't like it. And if that's a problem, then it's not going to work. So it does impact it a little bit. A lot of people are like, oh no, that wouldn't bother me. And I'm there like, it probably will down the line. Especially like if they have a disagreement with you, because the first thing they want to say, oh, what do you know? You're young.
Yeah, I've had that as well, yeah.
It's so irritating, isn't it? Because I'm there like, okay, well, I obviously know something because we're all sat here and where we're at. But yeah, it's tricky. We are all quite young. And recruitment's quite a young industry, to be fair. You get a lot of people coming at trainee level. Some people last 6 months, then it realize it's not for them. Or some people absolutely fall in love with it. And I hear 3, 4, 5 years in the industry. So trainees, people do tend to come in sort of 18, 19, 20, 21, that level. We're all quite young, we're all quite similar. We've all actually got like mutual friends as well. Which is a bit, so we just hired someone called Jack, for example, and he bumped into one of his mates and he was like, oh, what are you doing for work? So I'm going to work at HM Staffing. And they're like, oh, Harry. And then he's like, and it's just everyone knows everyone really, which is it's quite nice, and like everyone's got quite social with each other as well. We went to Henley Regatta on a social, which Lewis actually came down to as well. Which I always say that he's late for everything. He was like 3 hours late for it, 4 hours late. Right. He was 7 hours late to Reading Festival. I took him for his birthday and he was hours late. We had a day ticket as well. We got that. We saw two acts. It was terrible. Wow. Yeah, I still moan about it, and it was in August. So
you hate him for it.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm so bitter about it. But yeah, I think that's the culture kind of because of my age. It's kind of set that culture that people gravitate, especially people similar age, because they think, oh, that's cool. Like, what we're doing is we're not trying to be a boring recruitment agency. We're trying to be a bit trendy. A lot of the stuff we do are quite similar to more of a marketing agency, how we approach clients and how we act. Like our dress code, like I'm in trackies right now, to be fair.
I did think that because I put on a hoodie and I thought, oh no, I bet he's in a suit. And I was like, I don't know what I've seen. Like, I feel like they're all really casual. And it is good to see because it is like you're embracing the new era, because a lot of businesses are quite ancient in their ways, especially like with the whole corporate culture and stuff. It just, I guess you're sort of looked down on if you're wearing casual clothing. It's just like a mad concept, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I went to a client meeting the other day and I just finished the gym and they were like, oh, can we move it forward an hour? And I was like, I'm just coming from the gym. Like, I'm wearing shorts and a T-shirt. And they're like, oh, we don't care. Wow. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then they're like, to be fair, he went, you've just been wearing T-shirt, shorts or trackies anyway. And I was like, exactly. So I was like, what's the difference? I was just sat there in like Jordan's white night socks, these like shorts and a T-shirt, just talking to him about recruitment plans. But when we put out that's what we're like, so that's what people expect us to be like.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's then like, oh, you're not wearing a suit. This is not professional. Well, if you don't think it's professional, then we're probably not the right agency for you. Yeah. There's loads of really big corporate agencies that make them still wear the same blue suit that recruiter's been wearing for like 40 years. But yeah, I'm trying to think what everyone's wearing today. Yeah, full track suits. I'm wearing cargos and the T-shirt. It's
nice.
Chilled. But I don't get why you need to wear a suit.
No, I've never understood that. I get in a sense, but then it's like, well, that's just such a old way of thinking, like perception and, oh, you must look like this. It is a weird way of thinking when you sit and delve into it, isn't it? So it's just a weird way.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know if you've seen it. We were up for an award and we won it. And the photo for me winning it was in a suit, top half. And then the bottom half, I was wearing tracksuit shorts, white night socks and sliders.
Really?
And it was on my Instagram, it's all over LinkedIn. And it did like 30,000 views on LinkedIn. And like, you had such a mix of people here. You had so many people laughing and understanding that this is a joke. Like, this is showing that like, you can like just be a bit more relaxed. And then I had so many people saying like socks and flip-flops. I was like, sliders, not flip-flops. Please get it right. I'm like, don't make it look like I've got ones between the toes on and so on. But no, it's outdated. I think the whole suit thing's outdated. I saw someone post that the only time they need a suit nowadays, they go to a wedding or they've got caught. Yeah, so that's it. This new generation, it's it. No one's expecting it. Yeah. So we're chilled. We're relaxed in that sense.
Is that like a conscious thing in your mind then to ensure that not only are you down to earth as people and as a person yourself and then also as a brand, but also like you said, just you're almost more like a marketing firm in your approach, the way like you produce, you get the content, you get nice photos of all the team, you all look casual, like your mannerisms as well. Is that something you was conscious about when you first started it, or is it just a natural thing?
It's naturally developed more. At the start, we were very corporate because I was battling this whole age thing. And we always have to be wearing suits. And then COVID happened and I was like, why am I wearing a suit? I'm sat at home. What am I doing? And then I realized that we were all just being ourselves a bit more. And I was like, right, well, winning business, if we're going to win this business, is by being ourselves. So we just dropped the whole suit. If we go out on a client meeting and they're brand new and they're a little bit corporate, we'll throw a shirt on, obviously, and some jeans.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, you won't catch us in a tie or anything like that. Yeah, shirt and a jumper maybe. But if I know them, then no, not a chance. I'm wearing cargos and a T-shirt and a hoodie probably. But it's just the modern way, isn't it? You wouldn't go meet like a new trendy company. They would not be wearing suits.
No, that's it.
It doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, no, it's the new way of the world, isn't it? And you mentioned there about winning clients. I believe you've won some awards. You mentioned there as well, obviously, your famous photo, you've won awards for that. So I guess you are now an award-winning young entrepreneur, which is a mad title to have when you think how many young entrepreneurs are out there and not many of them sort of get the accolades. Even if they may deserve it, they just don't get the accolades. So, what I wanted to ask you on that is, how did you get your name out there? Because this is something, obviously, I've got If Only They Knew, and I've also got like the guided journal I brought out, and it's something I've been thinking about. Like, even though you're doing the great things, you're doing everything perfect behind the scenes, if you don't get that story out there and tell it in the right way, you're just not going to get noticed, whether it's by the press, customers, or whatever it's going to be. So how did you get your name out there as a personal brand?
I'm quite active on LinkedIn. That's one thing. We look at leads on job adverts, and there was this one post that did really well, and it was an intern. I would always speak up for things that I disagree with on LinkedIn, and some people don't like it. I said that you don't have to go to university in one of them, and I got backlash, and I still get hate messages for it now. People are so protective over it. Yeah, I don't get it. Well, like Southampton Student Union Radio were talking about it on air, like slating me. And I'm like, I was just like absolutely rattled. I love it. there was one about an intern salary. They wanted to pay them like £100 a week. And it was like, it's like in London, it was like 9 till 9. It was ridiculous. And it was like, perks, we'll give you free guacamole.
I was like,
you're just... how are you doing that? And I wrote a post about that. And then I had a lot of people that were doing interns previously reach out to me and like, oh, I really like that you're like exposing this company. I didn't like mention who they were. The advert got taken down pretty quickly.
Because they
knew who it was about. But I was quite active on that. I go around to a lot of the local schools and colleges and we give talks, CV workshops, interview prep and stuff like that. Networking as well. I know Stephen Bartlett came out the other week and said that like he thinks networking is pointless. Yeah, some people might feel that. I mean, for us, it's helped massively. We've won some huge accounts from going out networking and getting in front of people. Yeah. But I think that's how the award came out in particular, because I had people nominate me from that I've met that I've just having a laugh with. And then when people said this company, I think it was Thames Valley Business Award. So Thames Valley's got Buckinghamshire, Berkshire, and Oxfordshire. And we've got O2's head office, Vodafone's head office, Reckitt Benckiser, some like on the main business hubs in the country. So when people were just asking who should be nominated and who would you nominate, my name got thrown up quite a lot. So then they reached out to me, and it happened that way. But you've got to be active on LinkedIn's a powerful tool right now. And it's how I've met some close friends off there. It's how me and you started speaking. It's how me and Lewis started speaking. Now me and him have become my best mates off it. It's really weird. We've hired every single staff member off LinkedIn as well.
Wow.
Majority of our clients come through there, and it's just the exposure of it. And that's how I got my name out there. But it's posting stuff. Like, it's just some of it's just stupid stuff. Like, I post like my dog on my laptop. Like, some of it's that. And then I just mix it with some actual meaningful stuff that people look at and go, oh, he actually knows what he's on about. And then that's how I got my name out there, kept turning up to different networking events, just having a laugh with people, made people remember me. And then it's kind of just gone like that, really. But I just get out there, really. Post as well. Social media is so powerful. There's a lot of companies that don't utilize it. But the more you do, we get now people's coming to us. We don't need to do as much business development. So the stuff that everyone hates doing, the cold calls, the more we post, we're getting people come to us instead, and the roles are getting reversed. So that's my really big advice with it. If you're wanting to get to these awards, if you're wanting to get more exposure, it's just keep posting.
Yeah, that's it. Be active in the industry and provide value and also entertainment as well. Rewinding quickly, if you don't mind, who said about the networking not being important? Stephen Bartlett.
Yeah.
Stephen Bartlett. On a podcast. You are wrong, completely wrong. I have to, like, networking is, like, for me, I've seen it because I don't network enough. I don't reach out to people on LinkedIn. I just don't do it enough. I'm very introverted, like, in my natural nature. I just don't really do it. And I've seen my business partner. I've seen his phone book, and it's just incredible. Like, he says, oh, I met that person here because I spoke to that person, and that person introduced me to that person. And it's like a butterfly effect. You speak to one person, and before you know it, you get all these opportunities. So for me, I'm sure, like you sort of said, you agree, I guess. I'm bringing you into this. But yeah, no, is so important.
100%. I know people that built their whole business off it. He was saying something like, oh, like, do a podcast, put stuff out and get people come up to you that way. And it's like, yeah, it's quite easy to say that when you're where he is now, saying, I'll put a podcast out, and you can get like Molly May on there, and you can get Jimmy Carr and all these people coming on there. And that's easy then to network, right? Because everyone wants to know you because you're now a dragon and everything like that. But for people just starting out, okay, well, you need to get out there. And these people then become your circle. They might become suppliers. They'll become clients. The networking stuff that I go to, I met my sales coach through there. I met my HR consultant through there. I've met FTSE 100 companies through there. We started doing recruitment for huge cybersecurity companies, all through networking. So it's networking is a big one for it. It's socials and networking for me.
Yeah, it definitely is. It is huge. I've seen the impact of it myself. Before we get into stuff, just to round it off, a few fun things at the end, just wanted to get your advice. Obviously, you're working in the recruitment space. You're helping people get jobs. And obviously, because of COVID and stuff like that, a lot of people are struggling mentally and obviously financially with the lack of job opportunities out there. So what would your advice be? I think almost a quarter of Britain is unemployed. So what would your advice be to those people that are unemployed, whether they have the experience or not? What would your advice be to those guys?
People are changing. I'm actually going to talk about this tomorrow to about 70 business owners. People are changing when they're looking for jobs is one thing. So LinkedIn is the biggest one for this now. Regarding vacancies, we're at an all-time high for job vacancies in the UK right now. So there's actually a demand that we can't keep up with people. Wow. So this is the big thing right now. There's still unemployment in the UK. I think we're at Great Britain. We're about 80% is employed. I think there's about 7% unemployed, I think is what it is at the moment.
Wow. Just not as bad as so,
no, well, this is the thing. Like, I was doing so much research into, especially like Thames Valley, that area, and I was expecting to see like 30%, and it was 4.8% unemployment rate. That was it around here. That's three counties, and you know, Southeast was 5%. I think it was back in, that was in September, and we're just seeing record highs, record highs, record highs. But have the right conversations with people. If you're wanting to get into this industry, so if you're wanting to get into marketing, reach out to people that are doing marketing. I'll just say, look, can I have a 5-minute chat with you? Most people will do it. Mm-hmm. Most people will. Right? So if you pick if you ask like 20 people, guarantee you've got 5 conversations booked in, like absolutely minimum. And just pick their brains. How did you get into it? Is there anything you'd recommend? Then go and do these things, and you will be able to get a job in that industry. Obviously, I'm not saying call 5 footballers, 10 footballers and say, oh, how did you get in there? Then go copy what like Jermaine Pennant did. Like you're not going to be a footballer that way, but marketing, HR, finance, sales, a lot of companies are taking on trainees. Apprenticeships really good at the moment. I saw one apprenticeship paying £32 an hour.
Wow.
Which is ridiculous when you think of a 30K salary in the UK is around £15 an hour.
Yeah.
So if you think that £36 an hour, that person's on nearly 70K. For an apprenticeship.
Sign me up.
I know, if it was a college leaver that got it as well.
Wow.
Fresh out of college. And it was, I think it was it for Mars? Like, I can't remember who it was for, but it was for like a, it was for quite a big company, but like a 19-year-old got it. And I was so happy when I heard that. The college told me it when I went down there at Henley College. And I was like, that's fantastic. Speak to the people. I was a football agent for a year to 18 months. That's like a hobby. And I was like, how am I going to get into this? It's such a difficult thing to get into. And I went on LinkedIn, I searched football agent. I connected with every single football agent on LinkedIn and players as well. And I just said to them, like, how did you get into it? And a lot of them, they're like, give me a call, I'll have a chat with you. Wow. And then off the back of that, I managed to get a role in it. So reach out to people that are in the industry, reach out to recruiters as well. Recruiters are always happy to help. We've got a really, they get really bad rep recruiters, and some are bad, don't get me wrong, like some are really slimy, but a lot of them, if that's the industry, that say if it's a specialist marketing agency and you wanted to get into marketing, call them up. Is there any advice or are there any trainee roles? And there will be trainee roles right now where the demand is so high for people. It's such a good market to get into or to move and upskill yourself.
Yeah, so thank you for that. That is really valuable. So to summarize, there are plenty of jobs available and plenty of opportunities to reach out and get those jobs if you just do a little bit of digging.
Yeah, UK high. BBC published it 4 days ago. UK high. Right. So it's everywhere at the moment. We see it now. We've got so many jobs on, and then it's like normally we have like five people going for a role when it was the client's market, but now it's candidates, they run it. You get like one or two people and people are going for like 8 jobs and they're pulling out left, right, and center, which is like a pain. Calling clients constantly saying, like, oh, they've pulled out, and they're like, did they ever exist? I'm like, yeah, they did, but you know, and pay rises as well.
Yeah.
This is the other thing right now. If you've been at a company for say 2 years, for example, 3 years, and you think I do want more money, I've seen crazy pay rises recently. Wow. I saw one guy go from 38K as a sales role to 100K. I've seen a HR assistant go from 18K to a HR admin role at 32.
Wow.
just took someone out of a car garage on 18K and they're now on 35. So it's crazy right now. So if you are looking to move as well, it is the right market to do it. And it won't stay like this forever. But if you've been for a company for a while and you know you're in a good industry, I'd have a look elsewhere. I'm not just saying that because I'm a recruiter as well, but you could get quite a hefty pay rise.
Yeah, that is crazy. I think there'll be a lot of people sort of looking at their CVs and updating their CVs after this.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, just to round off then, you mentioned something just before we got on the podcast, and it sort of sparked something I'm thinking about a lot lately in terms of getting my mind and my body in shape. And you mentioned something, it was called the 75 Hard, wasn't it?
Yeah. So 75 Hard, it's a mental toughness challenge is what they call it. Everyone thinks it's a fitness one, but it's mental toughness.
And you did you hear of that through, was it George from Represent?
No, do you know what? I didn't, but he was my encouragement to do it. I actually heard it from an ex. Yeah, she did it and failed and didn't finish it. And I was like, I could do that. That'd be easy. And everyone at work was like, no, you couldn't. Yeah. And then I saw he'd finished it, and I watched a podcast with him on and how he was talking about it. He was like, oh, it's all about, so I thought it was a fitness thing. And I was just there like, oh yeah, like I don't really see the point why people are doing it. And then I heard him speak about it. So it's 75 days straight, no days off, no breaks. If you miss one of the tasks off, then you have to restart the 75. So you've got to do two workouts, one inside, one outside, 45 minutes each, read 10 pages, drink 4 liters of water, strict diet plan. But you can be whatever diet you want. Like you could be there, like, I don't want to have sweets in my diet, or I'm counting calories or anything like that. And no alcohol or cheat meals. So they're the big things. So if you have a beer on your day 30, you're back to day one. So I thought it was that. And then I heard him speak about it, and it was him saying, no, it's actually overcoming that voice in your head saying, oh, no, you don't need to go to the gym today. Like you've done enough. It's overcoming that and just going, no, I am doing that. And actually just getting straight on it. And it's breaking down that mental barrier. So I did it in September. I came back from a holiday and I lost 12 kilograms on it as well. So don't get me wrong, it was a bit of a fitness thing as well. But now productivity wise is through the roof compared to before. And my mate said he was doing it as his New Year's thing. And I was like, after a week, I saw him doing it and I was like, oh, I miss it. And then I've just started doing it again. So I'm day 18 now on it. I've got my birthday involved in it as well. It's terrible. I've had a shocker there. But yeah, no, it's such a trendy thing right now. I think the guy that started it's called Andy Frisella. So he owns a supplement company in America. And it's now everywhere. Like you go on TikTok, you tell him 75 Hard, and you see some of the results that people are having. It is crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to give that a go. I'm currently doing Conor McGregor's Fast app. He's got like different training program. I just started that today and that killed me. I literally felt like I was going to be sick this morning. So I'm going to do that for a bit. I think it's 8 weeks worth of stuff. And then I'll do the 75 Hard. But like, shout out to George. I got my squares, and I think you've jumped on this as well, haven't you? You got your rice.
Yeah. I'm not on my 75 Hard though. Cause it's not, I'm having no sugar. I know. I look around the office, there's like four of those like big boxes you get like in the shops of them. But yeah, I used to do that in the pre-workout that he used, that TNT one, that was shot.
It does help. And I've found myself just getting like a mad pump every morning, and it does it. Then once I've done that, I sit down and then I'll crack on with work. I feel so much more focused and just a bit more like got that fire in my belly. So it definitely does help, doesn't it?
Oh, it massively. I think I'll do one of my exercises, the workouts, can be a walk, it can be yoga, it can be anything like that. Like no one's saying like go to the gym twice a day. That's just ridiculous. You're not trying to be like The Rock or anything like that. So for me, it helps so much. I'll go to the gym in the evenings. I'll do like a 45 minute walk on my lunch, and it does just break your day up. It's perfect. But yeah, squares bars they're addictive, aren't they?
Yeah, they're so good. We've got
all like four or five different flavors in the office. It's terrible.
I'm literally addicted. I'm trying to stop myself from just eating them throughout the day. It just ruins the whole point of them. But
they're only like 100 calories, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But I just know there's something inside that's probably the sugar is probably not too good for me. Well, I have four or five.
Yeah, but yeah, on your fifth one when you realize that it's actually 500 calories, probably shouldn't have done that. He's great. I think he's definitely by far my favorite entrepreneur at the moment as well. 100%.
Yeah, same. I think just looking at what he's accomplished, like there's a photo of him like working out, like doing mad stuff, like all burpees and stuff next to his Rolls Royce in the garage. It's like, oh, come on, you're living the life.
It's crazy. They just released a documentary, like a Decade of Dedication, it's called. Yeah. And it is unreal. I'm like, how they've grown their brand. And he even says, like, it's all about personal branding. I get people really invested into it. Like, me and you were here talking about him, saying, like, how cool he is and the stuff he does. And then I'm like, we actually are. I get grilled in the office about it. But then, like, you look on, like, you sign into your representative account and you see how much stuff you've ordered. Like, you've ordered, and you're there, like, it's worked. Like, he's sucked me into it. Yeah, it's terrible. Like, I'm wearing it now. I'm wearing out the cargos now. Like, I know that I've got a delivery of it at home. Like, it's getting bad. It's becoming a problem. It's an addiction.
Yeah, literally addicted. Last few things. So, like, we're running out of time. Last few things. What is, obviously, this show is called If Only They Knew. Let me get it right first. What is one thing you wish you knew at an earlier stage in your entrepreneurship career?
People only look out for themselves. That your problems aren't theirs. Mm. Like, invoices is a prime example. You send an invoice out, you've got 14 days payment terms. No, they don't care. You care about that 14 days, but Mr. Mrs. whoever at this big company, they don't care. They'll pay you when they want. We've had people pay like 90 days late, 100 days late. And like a startup in your first year, and like, they're like, we need this. Like, this is our work that we've put us in. But yeah, their problems aren't yours and they don't care about it.
Yeah, that's one thing I've found as well. It's like, literally no one, and even when, like, from a marketing perspective, when you're telling your story, sometimes I think people aren't going to care as much as I care. Unless I'm providing value underneath this, then it's just going to get swept away and no one's going to care how much work I put in or whatever, if there isn't any value connected to that.
Yeah, of course. It's like when people sometimes tell me, like, you get everyone like the pub and people start telling you their story, they're like, oh, the day off. Like, oh, come on. Like, but it's true. People are savage, aren't they? They don't care.
No. I am a complete savage for that, but that's a story for another day. I'm just a savage. I just say, right, I don't care now, move on.
It's like, chill out, mate. Like, it's always like when you're in the toilet as well, having a bit of something like that. Someone guy stands in the yard next to you and starts trying to tell you this story, and they're like, I do not care.
But one thing I do care about is your legacy, what you want your legacy to be, because it's something I deeply care about for myself. So I'm interested in all the young entrepreneurs, what they want their legacy to be. So yeah, what do you want your legacy to be?
I don't really know. I think about legacy quite a lot, and it's a lot the reason I go to the schools and colleges and stuff like that, because I think if you can impact someone's life, that they're going to remember you as well. I do a lot of stuff in Uganda as well, doing CV workshops and volunteering out there. So I think it's mainly for me, it's trying to build something that my future children and their grandchildren can be there, like, that was my granddad, this is what he did, look how cool this is, he was this, he was that. I think that's quite important. But for me, it's more about making people proud. I think when you're dead, you are dead to a certain degree, but if you can be that person that everyone in your family for years to come to think, he was cool, he did that, I think that is important for me. But what everyone else thinks, I'm not bothered.
I
think as soon as you die, people stop thinking about you anyway. So it's true though, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, unless you're famous, when you die, you become more relevant.
Which is
a bit odd one. But yeah, as long as my family are proud in the future, that's all I care about my legacy to be.
I love that. And what is next for you then, both personally and for the company as well? What's the next few steps?
Yeah, so company-wise, we're staffing up Manchester office this year, so we're going to be looking for a director up there. Year after, we're hoping Birmingham, and then Dublin year after that, and then we want to go abroad. So we've got this big plan that we're just trying to get everyone involved in right now. Then I won't be probably based in the Reading office. I'll be everywhere. But we just want to progress people that are here now and give them sort of good roles. For example, one of the team came in at consultant, now they're associate director. So that's for the businesses. That's our main focus. I spoke to you about it. We're obviously kickstarting the podcast again soon, which is it's just finding time, isn't it? It is tricky. You really want to do it and you know it's the right thing to do, but it's finding the time for it is just it's draining. Personally, that's it as well. But this is now, like, HM staffing is like my personal life as well. It's crazy.
It's just meshed into one, and now that is your life. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I talk about. And someone's like, oh, how are you? And they're like, yeah, no, really good. Brought a new client on today. And then I'm there like, why am I talking about work? Stop. So yeah, it's just that really. My main focus is that. And I'm 23 now, like I said, in that 4 years, 5 years, I'm wanting to do all that by I'm 30. I've always said there's one thing I've always wanted, which was full 30 under 30. And then I realized I really don't care about it.
Yeah. One day it came to me. Yeah.
I was at a party with, it was Jordan Dakins, who he was Forbes 30 under 30, went on Dragon's Den. He was the youngest person backed off that. And I chatted to him quite a lot, and Ben Towers was there as well at the party. And there's a few others that I've made the list that I was speaking to about it. And they're like, it's cool. Like, what else really? Yeah. And I was just like, it's just a list, isn't it? It's just a dumb list. But I used to be my big personal thing, but now I don't care about it. It's just, the business is that I want to sort of do all that by I'm 30. So I can kind of say, what did I do in my 20s? So I'm 20 to 30, I opened 5 offices. And that's my big thing right now. Yeah. But, that's my personal life as well. It's so sad. Yeah. But it's just what happens.
And I love that. I love that you're focusing on just what you want and what makes you happy rather than the external factors. The last thing then, if you've got a final message to everyone listening, please feel free to say. If not, where can people find out more about you and the company as well?
Yeah, LinkedIn, website's HM Staffing. If you start HM Staffing in on LinkedIn as well, it comes up with all our profiles. It comes up on mine as well. Harry Porch is what it is. Same on Instagram, same on everything like that. It's all pretty simple.
Perfect. In that case, it's been an absolute pleasure. Love listening to your advice as well. And like I said, you seem to be focused on you personally in a good way, that is. So I'm sure you'll achieve everything you want to achieve. And it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Cool. Perfect. Thanks for having me on, man.